New Testament, first from Matthew chapter 6, reading the verses 24 through 34, and then we turn to Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, which will also form the words of our text this afternoon. But reading first of all from God's holy word from Matthew 6, beginning at verse 24. Matthew 6 at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And now we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. The last segment of chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke. Beginning at verse 38. And these words also form the words of our text this afternoon. Now it came to pass, as they, that is Jesus and his disciples, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So far our scripture reading and also the words of our text. Let's now make confession of our holy and undoubted Catholic Christian faith with the Church of all times and places, and may each one of us be enabled to say in his and in her heart, and that in truth, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and of earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's first ask the Lord for this indispensable lesson. Let us into his faith and favor in prayer. Again, in the afternoon hour of this day, we are privileged to gather once more around thy holy and infallible word. And the Lord, what a great privilege and distinction this is from many others in this world who do not have thy word in many cases, especially when we think of lands such as North Korea and even China and other lands where thy word is unknown and in some cases even forbidden to be read and to be distributed. Lord, we may come in peace and quietness, unhindered, around thy word on this day of rest. O Lord, that we may never take these things for granted, for we are so inclined to think that these things are a matter of course, that we may have one day in seven which is different from the other days, that we may on that day go up to a place of worship and gather freely around thy word with the congregation. And yet it is not a matter of course, for all these things also have been purchased by thy finished work, O Lord Jesus. And may we therefore never take it for granted or slight these benefits. And that is something which we are so inclined to do. And we do not value them enough. We do not see their real intrinsic worth. We do not understand by nature that thy word is the bread of life come down from heaven. And we are so ready to consume our appetites upon the things of this life. Oh yes, we may have many blessed things, many good things in daily life, and yet even the good blessings, when we consume them upon our lusts, and in such a way that we make them of utmost importance in our life, we abuse them. Lord, may we take that admonition of thy word to heart. Whether ye eat or whether ye drink, do it all to the glory of God. And yet, O Lord, we have lost sight of that, for we have departed from thy ways, we have turned our back to thee, we have become estranged to thee, we know not God, our creator and sustainer of our life, except thou, O Lord, dost break through in our lives. And to that end, O Lord, thou dost privilege us with this blessing of normally coming up to a place of worship. And most, if not all of us, have been brought up with that from our childhood onward. Oh, that these things may never testify against us, but that they may be that savor of life unto life for our eternal blessedness and good. We pray, dear Lord, wilt thou be pleased to dwell amongst us also in this afternoon. Lord, that we may be taught by thee what the issues of life are all about. Often it takes a great trial, a loss of health, great difficulties being brought to bear upon our lives, that we are taught something of these things. And yet, even trials alone and temptations are not sufficient of themselves to make us regard our ways. We need that instruction of thy word and spirit, so that indeed we may see what our life is all about. We read in the Holy Scriptures in its opening pages that God created on the first day, the second day, the 6 days of the week, he created, and all that he created was good. very good. God saw all that He had made. Also the crown of His creation, man made after His own image. And it was indeed very good. And yet we have distorted that image. And we have chosen for darkness rather than light. Oh, we pray to You. May the light of the gospel yet shine brightly into all of our hearts, whether it be for the first time, but also by renewal, that we may see it, O Lord, and that we may see the danger of our lives, even as we live, when it is without Thee, without God, and without true understanding. We pray, dear Lord, remember each family here represented. Remember widows, those who are called to go through life alone. We pray Thee be near and dear unto them. Undertake for them and wilt Thou be their refuge and their strength. And grant that also in the lonely hours of the day and also during the night, they may experience that they are not alone, but that Thou, O Lord, dost remember them, art mindful of them. We pray Thee remember the sick and the aged. We think of the aged Mrs. Vandenbrink. O Lord, undertake for her and grant that in a special way, as one day melts into another and she may lose track of the days even, because every day seems to be the same, that she may yet experience a Sabbath day's blessing. Grant her the ability and the desire to meditate in a special way upon Thy word on this day. But also be with those who are coping with great difficulties in life, emotionally, mentally, physically. And especially we remember Rob Bitko in his ongoing struggle with that illness which he has, which is difficult to bear and which they do not really know how to deal with. O Lord, as a great physician, wilt Thou be mindful of this brother, and wilt Thou grant that more and more he and those of his family and the congregation may lift up their eyes unto Thee, from whence all their help and hope must come. O may ways and means be found also for the abatement of the suffering and even for a cure. Lord, we commend this deep way into Thy hands. Lord, uphold and strengthen. And wilt Thou grant that Thy grace may be sufficient in also this deep way. Remember all that awaits Thy blessing, all the acts of mercy performed in Thy name. Those who seek to visit the destitute, those who are even incarcerated in jails, as Thy word go forth through evangelism outreach over the airwaves or even through local churches and congregations, O Lord, may Thy word of truth have the preeminence, and may sinners be instructed in the way of true life. Lord, grant that we too may, our one and only hope may be placed upon Thee in Thy perfect righteousness, Thy perfect sacrifice as the Lamb of God. Remember those institutions which seek to alleviate suffering and bring Thy word, come over and help, word and deed, Bonisa and others of a similar nature. Lord, that Thy cause may yet flourish, that throughout this world the knowledge of God may be spread, even as the waters do cover the bottom of the sea. Remember us then in mercy. Be with this church family. Be with the consistory, elders and deacons, especially also with the pastor of this flock. Undertake for them all. Lord, wilt Thou grant that though they may be small in number, that they may be a light, as it were, upon a hill, as a salt upon this earth, and equip especially office bearers to perform their task. We ask Thee every blessing and favor in the pardon of our sins, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. We continue our this world in which we live during this modern day and age. There is so much that requires our attention. Life has become, in one sense, a lot more complicated than, say, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And even earlier than that. Sometimes we may have the desire to just get away from all the daily routines of life so that those daily concerns and the things which demand our attention can be left behind, that we may have more a time of relaxation, enjoyment, and even perhaps time so that with diligence we may seek the things which are from above. Now, although such reasoning may not be wrong in and of itself, yet let us be honest, how often when we do have time, times like family, vacations, and rest, that those times may even become times of frivolity and misspent time in which the needs of our heart and soul are not really improved. But when the Lord Jesus, as it were, took time from His busy schedule, and we know, children, do we not, what the Lord Jesus was always busy with. He was busy with the things of His Father's kingdom. He was teaching about the kingdom of heaven and the things which were most important in life. But then when He, as it were, went away for a time, what did He do? Then He went up to a mountain to pray and then to be alone with His Father in heaven. Well, now in Luke 10, we read about the manner in which God's people are called to conduct themselves as heirs of the kingdom of heaven. In the first place, they ought to be wise and prudent. They are not to be like the world, which only seeks to consider the things of this life. No, they are like babes who are always dependent upon the Lord for the manifestations of His mercy to them. Without His grace, they can do nothing whatsoever. And as a result of this fact, they learn to look unto Him, to wait upon Him in all their needs for daily life, but especially, of course, for the well-being of their souls. But true service to the Lord is not only waiting upon the Lord and looking to Him in whom we live and move and have our being, but in accordance to the second table of God's holy law, it also means loving our neighbor, those around us, as ourselves. Yes, that means that we must know what self-sacrificing love really is all about. And this can only take place when we've experienced something of God's love also shed abroad in our hearts. For God's love in and through His Son was such a sacrificial love. Only when we have been given some conception of that, of God the Father's willingness to give His Son as a ransom price for sin, and the Son's willingness to leave the glories and the splendors of heaven and then to lay down His life, will we also be filled with love and concern for those who are all around us. Well, now, as we consider something of these things from the words of our text this afternoon, let us simply do so under the following theme. The Lord Jesus gives instruction concerning Christian service in the home of Mary and Martha. The Lord Jesus gives instruction concerning true Christian service in the home of Mary and Martha. In the first place, we look at Martha's diligent industry for the Lord Jesus. Secondly, Mary's loving attention to the Lord Jesus. And thirdly, we look at the Lord's mild rebuke to seek the one thing needful above all else. So the Lord Jesus gives instruction concerning true Christian service in the home of Mary and Martha. First, we look at Martha's diligent industry for the Lord Jesus. Mary's loving attention to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus' mild rebuke to seek that one thing needful above all else. In the first place, then, let us consider Martha's diligent industry for the Lord Jesus. Well, when we look at these words, these very well-known words of our text this afternoon, congregation, we must be careful not to separate them from the preceding instruction in this chapter. For although Luke seems to have placed this happening before us out of chronology, I believe that it was led by the Holy Spirit to continue to build on the teaching which was revealed in the previous segments of this 10th chapter. Earlier on, he had answered that lawyer concerning his duties, which he had to his neighbor, by telling that parable, that well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. And by it, the Lord would make the questioner feel that he had responsibilities not only over against his fellow man, of his own family, and of his own nation, his own people. It was not sufficient to show some interest and care for those of your own group, as it were, let alone those of your own nation. But when a person has truly experienced the grace of God in his or her heart and life, then they will become Christ-like. They will see that the whole of humanity, the whole human race, have a never-dying soul meeting a never-ending eternity. Well, now let us seek to understand how this incident in the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha fits in with this teaching, which we have briefly described. Yes, in our text word, the Lord Jesus has entered now the home of some friends. In all probability, he has come with some, if not all, of the 12 disciples to Bethany, which is about 3 kilometers walk from Jerusalem to the east. And verse 38 tells us that as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And although the name Bethany is not given here, as it is in John 11, for example, from the occupants of the home, we know that it must have been Bethany. Furthermore, in this episode, Lazarus, the brother of the two sisters, is not mentioned, and therefore, in all probability, was not home. At least, he's not directly involved in the teaching here of our text. However, there are Martha and Mary, two sisters. Martha seems to have been the oldest, for we read at the end of the same verse that she received the Lord into her house. And she is also frequently mentioned first in John 11 as well, inclining us to believe that she, in all probability, was the oldest. Now, by this whole development in this home, we are given the impression that the Lord Jesus was there more than once, and he was a welcome guest. By no means was this his first visit here. We cannot be sure whether this was an unexpected visit or not, but one thing becomes sure concerning Martha, and that is she wanted to do her utmost, her very best, to supply the bodily needs of her Lord and his followers, his intimate disciples. Now we can imagine, congregation, that nothing was too great for her. In her eagerness to please the Lord Jesus, she had begun to work very industriously to prepare a meal worthy of her guests. Although it is not directly told us, most likely she expected that Mary too would soon pitch in to help supply the temporal needs of their blessed Lord. For there was so much work to be done with all the guests that they now received into their home. Now the first thing we must ask ourselves, whether we indeed know something of this love. For let us realize that is what it was. That was the motivating factor, that Martha loved the Lord, and nothing was too great. Do we know what it is to experience in our lives sometimes that nothing is too great for the Lord because He is so worthy of receiving all honor and all glory? Perhaps there are some here in our midst who feel this way. There have been times when you experience that the loving kindness of the Lord is better than life. Then at those very moments, you are ready to dedicate your whole being, as it were, your whole life unto the Lord, for He is so worthy, and that, beloved, is indeed very good. The Lord is worthy of our lives, of our whole being, of our strength, of all our resources, for He has laid down His life so that hell-worthy sinners might be indeed receive true life. But let us also realize, beloved, that as long as we live upon this earth, in this veil of tears here below, these feelings of love and willingness to dedicate all our life unto the Lord will not remain, at least not to the same degree, day after day. They are not always so strong, far from it, and sometimes they may seem to disappear altogether. For we must realize, congregation, that as the Apostle Paul also says in his second letter to Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, we have the treasure of God's grace in earthen vessels. But as long as we experience something of the testimony of God's grace in our hearts and lives, yes, then we are ready to do anything for the Lord, for He is so worthy. But when that sensible presence of the Lord seems to recede somewhat from our lives, yes, then we can also so very easily lose our sense of commitment to Him. Isn't that true, people of God? You and I, we need fresh tokens of God's grace, of His favor, of His condescension, again and again, that it may be well with our souls. But let us return to the words of our text. Now, as Mary, probably the younger sister, continues to be captivated by what the Lord Jesus has to say, we can imagine how that Martha, as she is busy scurrying about, begins to be somewhat irritated with the fact that she is not receiving any help from her younger sister. Oh yes, she has begun to prepare a meal with great industry and with all the love of her heart for the Lord, but when she sees that Mary is not at all engaging herself in these preparations, she allows her sister's inactivity to begin to irritate her until she finally blurts out to the Lord, "Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Yes, congregation, how careful we must be to not allow the little foxes, as it were, to spoil the grapes. For truly, there needs to be but a very small difference between us and our loved ones or our peers, and a good atmosphere or relationship is broken and even disappears between us and our loved ones, even as dew disappears from the rising sun upon the grass. And so how careful do we need to be, people of God, in seeking to nurture the blessings which the Lord bestows upon us from time to time, for Satan will do everything with his ruinous activities to try to create havoc and dissension, distrust, and so on, so that all the blessings which we thought to have had, for example, in God's house, will seek to take them away. It takes so little to ruin the blessings which the Lord has prepared for His own. And Satan knows that too, congregation. He's ever ready to fire, as it were, his deadly arrows so that little petty things can take away a long-lasting blessing. And now notice that as Martha allows irritability to build up in her, she does not speak out first against Mary, not at all, but she says, Lord, dost thou not care? And so on. And so when it comes right down to it, the Lord Jesus himself is being criticized. And who is blamed that the meal preparation was not progressing as well as Martha wished. Martha, who we may believe had begun preparations for a meal with the love of her heart and with eagerness for her distinguished guest, and that allowed irritation and jealousy to fill her heart while she is here so busy trying to provide. In verse 40, we read that she was encumbered with much serving. And the original word used here means to be drawn or pulled in every direction. We are giving the picture of Martha scurrying about, trying to tend to many things at one and the same time, and becoming flustered and exasperated about it all. And as Mary seemingly is wasting time, I put that between quotations, listening to the Lord Jesus, because they must be able to serve their guests. We can imagine Martha's face becoming more and more drawn with anger until she suddenly burst out, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And while this irritation is bubbling up against her sister in these words, we see how that discontent and malice is also filling her heart against her master, her Lord. And in the final analysis, really when it comes right down to it, it is the Lord Jesus himself who gets the blame. Why doesn't he say something to Mary that she also pitch in a bit to help? Doesn't he see that she's being swept off her feet trying to produce a worthy meal for him and his followers? Oh, how trying this really is for Martha. At last, she can't bear it any longer, and she actually puts the blame on the Lord for engaging in so long a conversation with Mary. And then we must say, what is man left to himself? That's how far it can go with mankind, even with a God-fearing woman. A person can be busy for the cause of God and His glory, as Martha was, because she was preparing all this out of love for her Lord, and yet Satan can cause a bad spirit to take hold of one who is so busy with the Lord's work, so that jealousy and even bitterness gain a foothold in their life, even while they are busy with the Lord's cause. Left to ourselves, we are so vulnerable, aren't we, to the attacks of the devil and the remaining motions of the flesh within us. And so let us realize, congregation, that if it were to depend upon us, we would all be miserable failures in dedicating all our life and strength unto the Lord. Oh, how do God's people need that powerful and leading and quickening and enlightening power of the Holy Spirit of God to enable them to perform the desires of their heart in service to God. How do we need to seek to lead a dependent life upon the Lord, even from moment to moment? Yes, how do you and I need to take rest and to sit, as it were, at the feet of the Lord Jesus to hear what He would say to us? That's even more important than food and drink. We read it from Matthew 6, did we not? So I read a few verses from there. And that brings us to our second thought, Mary's loving attention for the Lord Jesus. In verse 39 of our text, Martha's sister is introduced to us, which we are told also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, by these words, we are given the impression, congregation, that initially, at least, both of these sisters have received a greeting from the Lord Jesus, which then seems to have turned into a rather extended time of conversation and even teaching concerning the kingdom of heaven. And now this occasion of the Lord Jesus' visit to this home is the first one which is recorded in the scriptures. As we have already mentioned, this family unit is also mentioned in the Gospel of John in chapter 11 and 12. We do not read of these two sisters or of Lazarus either anywhere else in the scripture, but here in Luke 10 and John 11 and 12. And as we saw, Martha seems to have taken a leading role in welcoming the Lord. Mary was also there and listened to what the Lord Jesus had to say. But in all probability, while he was speaking, Martha felt the responsibility, because it was her home, to also fulfill the temporal needs of her guests. And so she was soon busily engaged and burdened, trying to get it all together, as we sometimes say, for she needed to prepare for quite a crowd. But meanwhile, there is Martha. Martha quietly listening to the Lord Jesus. As our text says, she also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. Now, these few words of our text are very significant. That Mary sat at the Lord Jesus' feet, that indicates that she was a ready listener to hear what the Lord had to say. And during the biblical era, when a learned teacher would instruct his students, they would all sit around, as it were, on the ground, on the floor, at his feet to receive instruction. Think, for example, how that the Apostle Paul testifies in Acts 22. Verse 3, that he sat at Gamaliel's feet as a student of theology and was taught according to the perfect law of the fathers and became zealous towards God in that way at first. Well, now Mary too takes such a position and sits, as it were, at the feet of the Lord Jesus, raising up every word which he speaks, teaching about the kingdom of heaven. We read in our text that she heard what the Lord Jesus spake in the original and imperfect tenses being used here, which might properly be translated, which sat at Jesus' feet and continued to listen to his word. She was just drinking in all that the Lord Jesus had to say. She was there with rapt attention. She sought to drink in every word which the Lord spake, as she hung, as it were, upon his lips. And consequently, she was oblivious to everything else which was going around her. Also, about the busyness of her sister. Perhaps, we don't know, but perhaps Martha even began to work with greater noise to gain her sister's attention. But no, Mary. Mary has but an ear for one thing. Namely, the words of grace which fell from the Lord Jesus' lips. Well, now, do we also know something of those times in our life as well, beloved, when everything else in life pales and falls back into insignificance because the Lord Jesus and his kingdom, his truth, through his word and spirit, became so vitally important and so living and real in our lives that it became altogether lovely? Do we know what it is to sit at Christ's feet, perhaps during a worship service, when the word of God not only came through a vessel of of clay through a minister, a pastor, but he who came with power from on high, so that a particular moment, a particular service had such power that it was precious to you. And then the prayer was placed in your heart. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Yes, at such times we can echo the words of the psalmist. Who have I in heaven but thee, and to whom my thoughts aspire? And having thee on earth is not that I can yet desire. Because nothing is greater, nothing is more lovely, nothing is more blessed than to experience tokens of God's favor, His nearness, and His dearness. Yes, congregation, those moments when God's people experience something of heaven upon earth, they are so sweet and comforting, so blessed that there's everything else pales into insignificance in comparison to the mercy and favor of God. You know what the Apostle Paul wrote? I believe it's in Philippians 3. He said, I count all things as dung, as useless refuse, in comparison to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That was Paul's all in all. Well, now, undoubtedly, something of these things were experienced by Mary as she sat there with rapt attention at the Lord Jesus' feet, eagerly listening to what He said concerning the kingdom which He had come to bring. Her ears were open only for one thing, to hear what God the Lord would speak. And how is that with us, beloved? Yes, if we are honest, then we must confess that by nature, no, that is not true of us. We are not tuned in, so to speak, to hear what God the Lord would say to us. By nature, we have no receptivity whatsoever when it comes to the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. We do not hear His voice. Also, when we are gathered in a place of worship around His Word, instead, we are tuned in, are we not, to the many voices all around us in this world. Voices which by nature are in league with the powers of darkness. Oh, how do we all need to be renewed there? In the inner man, congregation. So that we would indeed hear the voice of God through His Word and Spirit. For without that blessed work, we will continue, just merely continue upon self-chosen ways, which will surely lead to eternal destruction and death. And therefore, while we are given the breath of life, while we are given health and strength, let us call upon the Lord, beloved, and we would flee from the wrath to come and plead His grace and His mercy, that He would deliver us from all the voices in this world to which our hearts are so naturally in tune and so quickly give our attention to. But what about those of us who know something of the mercy and the love of God in Jesus Christ? How is that with you? Are you and I so able to serve the Lord, to dedicate all our heart and life to Him? No, you say, I have to be honest. That is not something which is a matter of course. And we have here an example before us, do we not? The one sister is listening with rapt attention to the Savior's words, while the other is being concerned to prepare a nice meal, and she's even becoming irritated as she is doing so. Yes, Martha even lashed out at the Lord, although, yes, deep in her heart, she loved Him too. No, it does not lie in our power to tune into the Lord and His Word. It is not because of our desire and our decision to listen to what God the Lord has to say that we would or would not listen. We are totally unable to receive a blessing from God's store through our efforts. As the Scriptures tell us, it is not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes, when the Spirit comes over powerfully applying the Word of God, then all things become entirely new. Then the heart of man is set aflame for the Word of God. Yes, then that Word of God becomes living and real and vital to the soul as heavenly medicine for our eternal well-being. But let us now also return to our third thought, the Lord's exhortation to seek that one thing needful. Yes, congregation, that must have been something for the Lord Jesus to experience in the home of His friends. Here are two sisters with whom He experienced a real bond. Both of them had learned to love Him with all their heart, but at the time of our text, one of them is not in their proper place. And it is Martha. Martha, who was so busy, so concerned to provide for the Lord Jesus, her Master, and His followers. But the Lord Jesus shows her how wrong she was in her conception of the matters at hand. Just listen to what the Lord says. He says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And notice, beloved, the tenderness with which the Lord Jesus gives this rebuke. "Martha, Martha." No, the Lord is not a hard and unfeeling master, but He carefully and also lovingly calls her by name, and with tender affection and grave concern, the Lord will direct her attention to the more important issue which is at stake at this moment, namely those things which have eternal value. And therefore, after getting her attention, the Lord adds, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." No, Martha's sin lay not in the fact that she was doing her utmost to be of service to the Lord. Not at all. But she had been too wrapped up in seeking to attend to the bodily needs of her guests, while the Lord Jesus Himself was providing heavenly meat and drink for the needs of their soul. Martha was overdoing it to the extent that she was swept off her feet by all the preparations which had to be made at this time, so that she had no time to sit with Mary at the Lord Jesus' feet to hear what He had to say. And is this not also a prevalent thing in many homes today as well, congregation? So much ado is made about whether this looks right and the other is the proper thing, and if it is elaborate enough when we are serving a meal also among friends or Christians of the same church. With all the modern conveniences which we have in the home today, mothers and families still don't have enough time to go apart a while and to be alone with the Lord and His truth. And sometimes it may even happen there is not enough time to read the Word of God together. And moreover, how many of us are not fretting about this and that and the other thing at the neglect of the needs of our never-dying souls. Yes, congregation, that's also another one of Satan's devices to keep his prey from turning unto the Lord and to be earnest in seeking His grace and help while it is still the day of grace. May our eyes be open to see then the great need we all have for our souls. But may the mild but also firm warning given by the Lord be taken to heart by all of us. One thing, the Lord says, one thing is needful. That is the thing which we need to keep before our eyes and our minds all the days of our life. And that thing is, how shall you and I, how shall we meet God one day? What does the Lord expect from me in this circumstance and in that? What will He have me to do? Does this or that teaching from the Word relate to me and my situation in life? But no, at this moment, Martha has no eye for these things at all. She was cumbered. She was burdened with the needs of the flesh to provide a kingly meal for her guests, while the Lord was busy ministering to those around Him for their needs of their never-dying souls. So do you see the incongruity here, beloved? A beautiful meal, that can wait. Just a plain meal would have been sufficient. But in her exuberance, Martha had gotten carried away with the temporal things of daily life and trying to do the best she could for her master in supplying food and drink. But in this desire, although well meant, Martha was very far off the mark. One thing is needful, Martha. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall never, ever be taken away from her. Let's try to look just briefly, more closely at these words, congregation. After reprimanding Martha, the Lord's mild rebuke begins with that well-known statement, one thing is needful. Now, this does not imply that there are not other things which are important and which we legitimately must give our attention to in our life here in this world as we go about our duties, whether it be in family, whether it be at work, whatever it may be. But yet one thing is needful above everything else. And that is that we are brought into a proper relationship with our Maker and our God. That's the question which we need to address. What is our eternal state before the one true living God? No, the Lord is not challenging Martha's state as to the genuineness of her love for the Lord, but her conduct and her behavior at that very moment was not correct. Martha did not have her priorities straight at this moment. But Mary has made that good choice. She has chosen to sit at the Lord's feet to receive divine instruction. We can say, to receive that heavenly manna, that heavenly food and drink, which would not be taken away from her, which would be lasting. Now, by these words, congregation, we are given the impression that the teaching which the Lord was giving at this very moment was being blessed to Mary's heart. Martha had been so busy with that temporal food and drink, but the Lord had given heavenly and eternal meat which would not be taken away from Mary. And therefore, one thing is needful, Martha. But now, at this moment at least, you have lost the opportunity to be profited by the blessed words of grace which came from the Lord Jesus' lips. But concerning Mary, that which she has received, that teaching, that instruction, which she has received at this moment, has gone. She has drunk it in. She's understood it with her mind. It has gone into her heart. And she will ever remember those words. Also when the Lord Jesus came to Martha's house, she'll remember those words, which were so blessed to her. They will be memorial to her of the mercy which the Lord showed her at that time. Now Martha has missed out on this token for good because of her busyness with the temporal things. And so we are taught by this little sequence of events, congregation, how important it is how we listen to the Word of God. Well, may we be inclined to regard the Holy Word of God with due reverence. Yes, with prayerful consideration, pleading God's grace that He would be pleased to grant unto us, even as if it were but a crumb from the Master's table. Yes, if only we would receive as it were a crumb, we would be blessed. And yet the Lord is far more willing to give more than that. And we can see that in this story. The blessing which Mary has received would never be able to be taken away from her. It would be lasting. Yes, even to eternity. Oh, beloved, may we not take rest until we too have experienced something of that grace. Because, you know, when we experience something of the mercy and the love of God, of His forgiving grace, of those fear nots, as the Lord Himself has said, fear not, little flock, for it is my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. And when these things come to us and are brought home to our hearts, and oh, what blessedness to know the Lord in His mercy and sinner's love. Those things can never be taken away from us. And then we do not have something, congregation, and then we can say we do not have a lot, but then we have everything. There's nothing whatsoever that can compare to that. And may we then never take rest until we too have experienced that blessed salvation of God which Christ has earned. Just think of how the Apostle Paul also wrote in the closing words of Romans 8. He says, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how certain God's grace is for His people, and especially when those truths are sealed to their hearts. Yes, God's people's life, but also the Lord's blessings in their life are secure with the one true living God. And how blessed, therefore, is that man and that woman, that boy, that girl, whose hope is upon the Lord and His promise. For they will never, ever be put to shame. Nothing can separate them from the Lord Jesus' love and mercy. Amen. Let us close in prayer and thanksgiving. Once again we do come unto Thee, O Lord. To whom else shall we go? For Thou hast the words of eternal life. And may we say with a Peter, yes, a Peter who still at that time during that ministry had so much to learn. Thou hast the words of eternal life. That is one thing Peter knew. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet there came a time later when Peter would stand in the way of that thou wouldst go to secure salvation for thy people. And then the Lord had to say to him and rebuke him, "Get thee behind me, Satan," for he was opposing the way of life through the Lord's sacrificial death. And so, Lord, may we look unto thee, may we wait upon thee, may we seek that wisdom which is from above, and may we by thy Spirit's grace and power seek that one thing needful above all else. Forgive graciously our sins of this day, but also around thy word. Lord, we must confess that we do not have the capacity to receive thy word as we ought. Thoughts can enter our minds. Drowsiness can fill our lives. O Lord, we depend upon Thee, and we wait for Thee to bless. It is a forfeited blessing from our side, but wilt Thou do it for Thine own name's sake, for Thy great name's sake, to Thy glory and to Thy honor and to our soul's salvation. We ask it all in the pardon of our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.